Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Baruch atah Hashem, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torat emet. Yeah. Thank you. Well, I hope you're all having a good time here at Joel's Bar Mitzvah. We're all real proud of him. Look at him. The very vision of manhood. And how about Leo Krupnik, who made that great gefilte fish sculpture, huh? Everybody taste the gefilte fish sculpture, it's great. Okay, Joel, get up here. Come on up here, Joel. And I hope everybody's ready to dance the horror and the hokey pokey soon. I don't want to see anybody sitting. Let's give him a hand, Joel. Yeah, today Joel is a man. Okay, Edge, play the blues. Tell you something else. I'm sick and tired of what's going on in Northern Ireland.
You're all the way out of extreme poverty.
You see, capitalism,
and we're seeing how that works.
This is the oil majors,
the slave labor that Apple, Google, Amazon are using in Indonesia and China and all of these places. You know, we're seeing how all that works.
You've used that word now twice. You said to me, I remember we talking to you about this when you did the benefit for Gaza, and a friend of mine was there, and they said they were, you know, you called Conor McGregor a cunt. Yeah. And then they said...
I know, I did not say that. I didn't. I just said that my wife told me not to call...
Oh, right. But I thought it was Bono you didn't...
She said that. Yeah, but it's so nauseating. You know, he should be a pariah in this community now. You know, he shouldn't be invited onto anything to talk about anything. You know, I mean, essentially spokesperson for, you know, the Western powers now. And he will simply say whatever they're saying, because that's good business. And that's it. You know, Ukraine, great freedom fighters, you know, fighting for a cause, you know. Ukraine song still hasn't been sung. You know, all that shit, you know. I mean, I apologize, he said, for having the unreasonableness of youth as I enter my 60s. Nobody gives a fuck. I apologize for being a singer who'll get in your face whenever I see injustice. What? What? Seriously? I apologize for wanting to make an unreasonable guitar record that rattles my cage and others. I apologize for repeating over and over. God. I mean, the man is a walking fucking slogan that rock and roll is not dead. How do you think he talks in the house? I'm just older and grumpier. My music is older and grumpier and occasionally makes fireworks out of its mood changes. But most of all, I apologize for apologizing. What the actual fuck is he talking about? You know?
Okay, Joe.
And straight after Russia attacked Ukraine, this is what he said. If we're honest, it's easier to identify when... And where'd he get that accent? To identify when the threat is rolling in on tanks and blowing up hospitals. In Ukraine, freedom isn't a line in the song. Freedom's on the line. It's life or death. Freedom in Ukraine means people who don't want to take up arms. Taking up arms. We should support. because their song is about to be written. I mean, everybody's song's about to be written. Jesus Christ of Almighty. You know, there should be a plaque around his neck saying, this man is dangerous. Do not speak to him.
This Joe Brawley's song is about to be written.
Jesus, please not. Please not. You know, please not. I mean, like, you go to Trinity and you know, you study the law. Sort of, brackets, close brackets. You know, you throw your life into a life of activism and philanthropy, you think, and all of that. And then you see what's really happening in the world. And you think to yourself, like, what the fucking point? You know, and that's what they want us to think. That's what they want us to feel. Bono was, you know, and I make the point again, I don't know anything about the fella. He's obviously odd looking and he's got a weird accent for somebody from North Dublin. I mean, who from, isn't he from, he's from Finglas, is it?
Ballymun.
Ballymun, fuck me, quick. Jesus Christ. I think I prefer Philly McMahon. He's not from Ballymun, is he? Oh, my sweet mother.
Well, that just shows how far anyone can go in this world, you know? That's what it shows.
Yeah. You know, to just lose every semblance of what a human being should be, you know? I mean, I make no apologies for this, because, I mean, he's a very, very influential person. He was invited by a US Senate subcommittee in 2016, right? Because he communicated with him to say that he had some ideas on how to defeat ISIS.
Right. Good. The more,
do you remember this?
I'm all ears. I'm always for more ideas to defeat ISIS.
So
sounds good. You can never have too many ideas.
Bono being Bono with access. Yeah, well, Bono being Bono with access to all of the American presidents in that inner circle, you know, that, if I might say so, extremely corrupt.
But do you remember when Elvis was made an honorary? Was he made an honorary FBI? Did he get an FBI badge to help fight the war on drugs by Richard Nixon? And he visited.
Yeah, but I mean, Elvis was American.
He was also
Bono just talks like an American.
On drugs at the time, but that was that.
To be honest, I won't hear a bad word.
No, neither will I. But
her hair is soft and her eyes are Do not defame Elvis. I warn you. If
means that you're going to do an Elvis impression, I will never say a bad word about Elvis again.
So Bono, you know, ridiculous and all, as though this may seem to sane people in Ireland, you know, where we still have that sort of sense of community that means that people say, Jesus Christ, is that for real? You know. But you can go out there and be taken very seriously when you sit in front of a very powerful United States Senate subcommittee on ISIS terrorism and how to defeat it, and say to them, tell me you're sitting down, and if you're a listener and you're listening in the car or you're out for a run, either sit down immediately or pull the car into a lay-by safely. That warning was obligatory, and we're required by law to give that when we're about to say something like this. Bono said, and you can find this actually on YouTube, the best way to beat ISIS, believe it or not, is through satire. Now, there was a stunned silence in the committee. No, stay with me. The first people that Adolf Hitler threw out of Germany were the Dadaists and the Surrealists. It's like, you speak violence, you speak their language. So this is actual quotes, okay? I want to stress this. So I'm suggesting that the Senate send in Amy Schumer and Chris Rock and Sacha Baron Cohen to fight the Islamic State. Thank you. The senators laughed, waiting for the punchline, obviously. If you watch it, you can see this. But Bono was not amused, because Bono is to be taken very, very seriously. I mean, Bono's one of the most powerful people in the world in his eyes. I mean, he represents Ireland and Europe and the world. You know, it's just Ireland's song has yet to be sung.
You know, it used to be a Republican song. Now it's a U2 song.
He said, no, I'm serious. Do not laugh. I believe comedy must be deployed. It's like you speak violence, you speak their language, but you laugh at them when they're goose-stepping down the street, and it takes away their power. And there's the idea of, you know, Czech resistance fighters laying down their arms, going out on the street as a Nazi, you know, phalanx of stormtroopers were goose-stepping down the street and starting to laugh
well,
out loud.
Well, there's a line in Manhattan.
Look at them.
There is a line in the Woody Allen film Manhattan where the guy says there was a devastating satire in the New York Times, and the Woody Allen character says it's hard to devastating satire about Nazis, and he says it's hard to satirize a guy in shiny boots. He says so physical force is always better with Nazis, and I'd say the same is probably true of ISIS.
You forget how elusive maleness is in a world where materialism decides your machismo. If you've no access to material things, you exaggerate your maleness. I think we have to think about young men and think about that. And it's funny, you're going to... don't laugh. But I think comedy should be deployed. Because if you look at National Socialism and Daesh and ISIL, this is the same thing. We've seen this before. We've seen this gig before. They're very vain. They've got all the signs up. They're really, it's show business. And the first people that the Weimar, the Adolf Hitler threw out of Germany were the Dadaists and the Surrealists. It's like you speak violence, you speak their language, but you laugh at them when they're goose-stepping down the street, and it takes away their power. So I'm suggesting that the Senate send in Amy Schumer and Chris Rock and Sacha Baron Cohen. Thank you. Pop I'm actually serious. Not about the three characters.
You see, it illustrates that Bono lives in this empty echo chamber of billionaires and elites. You know, that's why he goes to Davos, and that's why he's on stage with Clinton, etc. You know, I mean, you just think about this. You just think about this. You know, not that ISIS would have known when thought who Chris Rock was, but imagine, you know, you've got a squadron of ISIS fighters in their, you know, their pickup trucks, their Toyotas with their M60s welded to the back and their hand grenades and their, you know, their improvised weapons, etc. Okay, and they're getting ready to come over the top. And in the White House Situation Room, the White House Situation Room, you've got Barack and Joe Biden and the head of the CIA and the five-star general, and they're watching Chris Rock as he's got, you know, the cameras, he's got the wee cameras on his shoulders and the cameras, you know. And they're saying, okay, Chris, just move in now over the top. Okay. And 4, 3, 2, 1, you can engage. And Chris Rock goes out over the top of the hill and says, what the fuck is going on here? Right. Now, how do you think those ISIS fighters are likely to react? In Bono's world, they're going to say, Chris Rock, that's the guy who's brilliant at the Oscars. Oh my God! And sit down and clap him, you know, and then at the end of it, say, you know what, Chris, we have seen the error of our ways. Now we're going to lay down our weapons and go home. You know, I mean, maybe we could send Mrs. Brown's boys over.
Now you've got me interested.
Yeah, to defeat, I mean, like, you know, nobody, you know, the world powers are sort of giving carte blanche to the Israeli Defense Forces. Maybe we could send Mrs. Brown's boys over to do a bit of a skit in front of them as they're amassing, you know, getting ready to attack the biggest refugee camp in the world in Rafah, you know. Or, what about this? Blast U2's music out on huge tannoys to the IDF. That'll make them retreat.
That could work. You actually might be onto something there.
See, the thing about it is this. It would be wrong to mistake these contributions of Bobo as offhand comments, you know, as you know, tongue-in-cheek or in any way humorous, you know. I mean, it's like, it'd be like, you know, drunk guys at the bar chatting about how to sort out the world's problems, you know, and that's how we would think. I mean, look, it's mental stuff. You know, you get drunk, logic's no longer a part of it, and, you know, feels good to say, like, oh, I know what should be happening out there, right? Like, this is Bono flying to Washington, D.C., and speaking to a group of very, very powerful senators, the sort of people who make decisions that are world-altering, you know, that are life-changing, you know. And this idea, you know, that this guy is somehow emblematic of Ireland when he's got absolutely nothing to do with Ireland, you know. I mean, go out, send out comedians to do a few stand-up shows amid the bloodshed, you know, as opposed to sending in a peacekeeping force, throwing a cordon around the refugee camp of Rafah with 1 million people in it, you know, 70% women and children, you know, an arms embargo in Israel, America telling them to stop now. We're now enforcing a no-fly zone over Gaza, and it's now stopping, okay? That's it. We've had enough, and we'll talk all this through. We're very good friends of Israel. You know, we're going to keep our aid going to Israel, et cetera, et cetera. But we're stopping all that. No. Send in send in Eddie Murphy to do a bit of a skit, you know. And if the viewer is in any doubt about any of this, there's a video of it. It's all on YouTube, you know. And it's part of this constantly ingratiating himself with the uber wealthy and the powerful in the UK and the US and the G8 and Davos and the private jets elite, you know. And I think it's he is a symbol, as I said to you, of precisely what is wrong with the world. I mean that sincerely. You know, he's their cheerleader. He's their sidekick, you know. He's the one that makes them feel good about what they're doing, you know, who will go out to America in the middle of all of this and tell America, look, your song is yet to be sung. You know, it's going to be the greatest song in the world. Can I write it? And put it on your Apple iTunes, you know, as a bit of a marketing ploy beside my advertisements for Pepsi and Coca-Cola.
He hasn't done ads for Pepsi and Coca-Cola, has he?
Is it any wonder there's very little that they haven't done?
I don't think you can do ads for Pepsi and Coca-Cola. I think that's possible.
Today, you see, you know, 8 billionaires now own as much as the bottom 50% of humanity, including Bono's very good friends, the Gateses, you know. You never, ever accuse the wealthy of being part of the problem. You know, you never, ever criticize them. You know, and that's why Tony Blair said, you know, Tony Blair, who Bono constantly lavished praise on, Tony Blair now is one of the great neocons. He has made hundreds of millions since he left his job as the Prime Minister of Britain. He went along with the Americans, Iraq, all of that. Conscience had nothing to do with it. Whatever they want to do, I'll do. I'm going to change the language of politics, things like fairness, wealth inequality, taxation, redistribution. No, I'm going to change that, and I'm going to use the language of business, the language of the elites. You know, we hear Alistair Campbell's exactly the same. I mean, he's part of that same thing. You know, he tells people who are protesting about what's happening in Gaza, young people, to catch yourself on. You're being naive, he said last week. You know, and, you know, it's no surprise that Tony Blair has gone on to make hundreds of millions. Bill Clinton with his Clinton Global Initiative. I mean, he discovered as well, and you can, there are umpteen interviews with Bill Clinton where he discovered that his youthful activism, you know, redistribution of wealth, inequality, union rights, you know, changing the balance between the boards of corporations and the employees so that the employees were no longer expendable and that the only criteria was how much profit the shareholders were making, you know, regulation of the banks, etc. He discovered, Clinton discovered, that all of that was naive, and that the only way to become a near billionaire, as he has become, is to join that world, join Bono world, where everything is perfect, and you go around in private jets and helicopters, and you live in lavish mansions, and you stay in the best places, and you've got security men, and you don't have to deal with messy reality, and life is absolutely wonderful. I mean, I told you Bill Clinton's story about meeting him in Manhattan once, walking along the sidewalk, and he was in the back of a car, big limousine, and he seemed to be writing notes, presumably on his way to make a speech or something, and he had his glasses balanced on the end of his nose. And I said, "Bill, Bill." And he looked across, and I just gave him the finger.
Right.
Because he was completely bloodless. He didn't react at all. He just pressed the wee button on his thing, and his window just went up slowly, you know. I might as well have been looking at a painting, you know, his hollowed out eyes, a very soulless human being who's done some of the most horrific things that any human being could do. You know, that's the world. That's the world that he lives in. Away from our world, away from the real world, where there's mess and poverty and where all of these things need to be sorted out. But the answer to that is let the rich get richer, entrepreneurial capitalism. And now today, the 8 wealthiest billionaires in the world own more than the bottom 50%, which is 7.88 billion people.
Capitalism is a wild beast, Bono said. If it's not tamed, it can chew up a lot of people along the way.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey. Capitalist song has yet to be written, and capitalist song has yet to be sung. Tonight the edge is going to... My edge, take it away. He's going to play a couple of notes, isn't he? Who's the boy who plays the... who plays the bass guitar?
Alan Clayton.
You know what Bono said about the edge? Look. People think this is a joke. You know, I mean, it's this pseudo-intellectual mumbo-jumbo, you know, like this far-seeing visionary stuff, you know, that people like Led Zeppelin used to write because they were high on heroin. You know. I mean, Bono thought that was real, that it was serious. Do you know what he said about the edge?
No.
Oh, don't. I'm not sure if it's the edge or edge. I think it might just be edge. Is it
how well you know him? I think it's the edge, and then if you get a little bit more familiar, it's like vous and tu in French. It's the edge.
And if you know him well, you can call him edgy.
Edge. Just leave it at edge.
Hedge. Edge, not hedge. Anyway, this is what he said. This is what he said about the edge in his book. Do you want to hear this?
Well, I'm going to hear it.
Have you got a bucket handy
that you can vomit into? I won't vomit. The stage of the podcast.
I wish the listeners could see the expression on my face. It's a pained expression. Edge is the silence inside every noise. He's the light inside the paint.
Okay. He's the what and the what and the what and the what?
You could replace these with almost any word, you know. Edge is the silence inside every noise. What does that even mean? Edge is the silence inside every noise.
Okay, go on.
Mr. Houston, or Bobo, would you like me to refer to you as this? I'm just imagining him in court saying this. Mr. Houston, I dare say someone may know what that means, but can we just take us through that?
The silence is in every noise.
Edge is the silence inside. Can you explain that to us, Mr. Bobo, or is it whatever your name is? He's the silence inside every noise. He's the light inside the paint.
The light inside paint.
What does that mean? The light inside the paint.
I guess that means that he's the little...
The light inside the saint. You see, that's interchangeable with a load of things.
He's the...
And the establishment go to him all the time. You know, so whenever the Good Friday's Agreement's 25th anniversary coverage, you know, this is where it all came up about Bono's and U2's massive contribution to the peace process. I would have persuaded the IRA to encase their weaponry in concrete, you know, if it hadn't been for me. The personal sacrifices that I, Bono, the Emperor King, made, none of this would have happened. Here's what he said in the Irish Times. The Irish Times interviewed him, of course, you know, because he, you know, it was right up their street. Like, I found myself in between two great men. Brackets, you know, another great man in between them, you know, and probably an even greater man, close brackets. I found myself in between two great men, not the meat in the sandwich, but the butter in the sandwich.
Paint in the light, the light in the paint, the silence in the noise.
Help!
The meat in the paint.
You could write a poem, you know, about that.
Butter in the sandwich.
Know, two great men, paint and light, silence. I am not the great man. I am not the great man. I am not the meat in the sandwich. I am the butter. Close your book very impressively.
I do know what he means by being the butter in the sandwich rather than the meat there. They were the meat. They were two types of meat. And he was just...
I think they were the slices of bread.
Mm.
I mean, if he's in between two great men, who was the meat?
The butter would be either side of the meat in a sandwich. So... Yeah, they were slices of bread and he was the butter. Was there nothing else in the sandwich? I would like to get Bono on the podcast to get to the bottom of the butter in the sandwich and also the silence and the noise and the light and the paint. As well as all the stuff about elites false philanthropy. But mainly the butter.
Like one of his most recent interviews, he said, you know, the cerebral nature of our inquiries, mine specifically, brackets, I'm greater than the others, close brackets, may sometimes appear pretentious, you don't say. Time won't leave me as I am. Time won't take the boy out of this man. You know, the Times once said of him that Bono is even more annoying than you think. I like that line. And what's next for them now? I mean, their albums are rubbish. Now, you know, I mean, there's nothing there left. You know, they're now doing a residency in Las Vegas. I mean, what's up next? Like Royal Caribbean Cruises. Phil Coulter has the support act doing Ireland's Call on the Piano.
I think that is the thing that is... Now, lots of people have gone to those Vegas shows and they're... And lots of people have travelled out and they still have a huge following. But there is something about them now that is, like, I've seen,
American school kids, and they love them
I saw the Rolling Stones live probably at the same stage of their career as you two are now. And, you know, Stones were kind of getting better the older they got, because there was something kind of wizened about, because they were rock. And again, I think this is the thing, like there are, maybe if you two had been a rock band and just been a rock band, there's no doubt there wouldn't be all this attention on them. And, but like the Rolling Stones, as they got older, Keith Richards became just more and more fascinating, you know, Charlie Watts, they were all becoming more and more intriguing.
Bono's just a brand.
As they got older.
Bono's an empty brand.
They were a brand too, but I think, you know, I think ultimately, like, there is something.
No, but they were real. You know, they did drugs and they had a load of sex and they were what they were. I mean, they brought themselves to the world and they were what they were. I mean, Bono was a very, very considered brand, you know. He says, you know, redemption. And he loves Arslick and the Americans. I mean, nobody Arslicks the Americans like Bono, right? Redemption's an American song. It's also an economic term, I might add.
But you see, I think I understand. If you listen to U2's early albums when they kind of fell in love with America and the idea of America, there was something kind of exhilarating about that as well. And there is still, and we talked about America. I think the best possible view you can have of, especially early U2, is that that element of America that is thrilling and exciting was something that they were excited by. And thrilling and excited, yeah,
they're a money-making machine.
And they probably felt that they were free from the what they thought of as kind of Irish. I remember when they played Self Aid, that terrible idea for a concert back in 1986, when they were, you know, a concert around unemployment and getting, you know, people donating jobs to beat unemployment, which was, you know, a pretty bad idea looking back on it. But it was criticized at the time by people like Eamon McCann. And I remember Bono singing that night on stage in the RDS and complaining about people crawling out of the pages of cheap Dublin magazines. So clearly, America had something in the sense of creativity and being whatever you wanted to be, and feeling that kind of cliche of begrudgery or being sniped at wasn't going to be there. So I think that's something that...
Well,
that's
begrudgery, I tell you, begrudgery and being sniped at, far more than that. You will be taken down. You will be taken down if you preach the wrong message. If you move away from the uber-capitalist script, you know, you will be taken down. And what Bono found in America was, you know, the capitalist dream. You know, that if you laud them and praise them, and you ingratiate yourself with the elites, you can make billions, which is precisely what they've done. With or without you, Bono has finally found what he's looking for. The best way to help the world's poor, the best way to help the dead in Gaza, the slaughtered people of the world, the best way to do that is for Bono to help himself.
Well, I think he's done a bit more than that, but thanks, Joe, and thanks everyone for listening.
Take it somewhere else.
I'll take it here. I'll end the show the way I began the show, by just speaking on my own for a few minutes. And, you know, we'll just quieten you down. And thanks everyone for listening. I'm not going to, that's the tumbleweed. That is Joe Brawley pretending it's tumbleweed. People are still hanging on here, listening to every word. That's it for this week.
Funny, like how he's just—it's just that he is a very good way of explaining these problems. You know, this problem of the elites and what's actually happening in our society. You know, and how, for example, you know, people are being encouraged to punch down, you know, on migrant and on black and on people from the Asian community and Muslims, etc., because it takes your eye off the main problem, which is that people like this are siphoning all the gains to the top and they're creating a permanent underclass.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Mm-hmm. Lucky Clover cereal, an important part of this well-balanced breakfast. Now with a fun new surprise in each specially marked package.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.